Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, please take one of the cards in front of you and fill it out and drop it in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit. If you want to turn your bulletins with me this morning, see the week's events. First, we'd like to welcome Abraham Thomas being with us here this morning from the Baptist Children's Home in India. Sunday school today, Mr. Thomas will be ministering with us during this time. All the classes are welcome to join us in the sanctuary. 2:30 today, the ladies' fall tea. Our theme this year is reflections. All ladies are invited to the church activity. There will be a skit, a short devotion, and refreshments. Please let Lori Hurd know if you're planning on attending and have not signed up yet. Also, the Secret Sisters. Each widow in our church is uplifted in prayer by a Secret Sister and remembered on her birthday. Would you like to remember one of our widows in prayer and by sending us her a special occasions card of encouragement? See Lori Hurd if you would like to be a part of this ministry. Tuesday at 6:30, there's a finance committee meeting. And Wednesday at 6:30, prayer meeting and Bible study, going through the book of Isaiah. Thursday night is Crusaders Club from 6 to 7:30. There is a correction on Saturday, the adult outing to Kokomo to watch the film Courageous. We will meet at the church and leave by 3 o'clock, not 3:30. So if you want to make a correction of that. Also, we'd like to extend another thanks to Dave and Beth Wireman for opening up their facilities and their pond for us at the picnic. Put a lot of work into that. So I'd like to thank them one more time. Also, there's a sign-up sheet posted for refreshments for Crusaders Club. The Crusader teens need cases of pop, bottled water, and prepackaged snacks. You may take your donations to the old church basement or the new church kitchen. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship with us, and I know that you're going to be blessed this morning. Just want to remind you that next week is communion, and also it's our quarterly business meeting right after the fellowship dinner, so plan to be a part of the dinner and then plan to come and be a part of the meeting. We'll even have some fun. A lot of you have been praying for Mike O'Connor. He's a six-year-old down in Dallas. He's a friend of one of our grandkids, and he has really been sick, and they were very concerned about him even making it through the summer at one point. He was so sick. And I got an email this last week, and they discovered that all he went through was a reaction to some medicine that he was taking, a steroid that he was taking for the croup. And the doctor said that sometimes that happens. It's very rare that it does. And he may display some of those for the next few weeks or so. But his mom says he's back in school. He's doing fine. He's eating like he should be eating. And he's back in soccer, taekwondo, and everything else. So praise the Lord. And she thanked us profusely for our prayers and appreciated the comfort and the peace that brought. You can see all the things that are going on, and we're just excited. Abraham, it is good to have you here, brother. I'm excited. And Jim and Donna, welcome. We're glad you're here. And we get to see you now, and we get to see you next month, too. So that's exciting. The memory verses are on the back of the table out there. You can pick those up. Let's bow and ask the Lord to come and minister to us. Several of you may have heard that even though she's okay, Lois Henley was in quite an auto accident. She was stopped on 35 while they were doing some work somewhere, but the person behind them didn't either understand or see it and drove right almost through the car. And the car is totaled. If you looked at it, you'd say, oh, the poor person in that car. Lois doesn't have a broken bone in her body. Is that amazing or what? And when I talked to her on, when I talked to her yesterday, she said that, I guess it was Friday, she said that her shoulder was a little sore where the seatbelt was, and I think she woke up yesterday morning with a few more aches. So keep her in your prayers, will you please? And thank you to all of those who have ministered to her with food and phone calls and visits and such like that. So We praise the Lord that it wasn't any worse than it is. Let's pray together. Eternal Father, the creator and sustainer of all that is and the author and finish of our faith, thank you for calling us into this place at this hour to worship before you. We extend to you the honor and the praise and the glory that is yours because of who you are. We thank you for our great gift of salvation and all the blessings that it brings with it. And Father, we thank you for watching over us in these past days. We thank you for the way you have ministered to us and you have taught us. And Father, you have been patient with us. And we thank you for all of that. It is our privilege to be here this morning and listen to Abraham share with us the great work that you're doing because of the burden of his heart. And so we pray that it will be a powerful time together. Speak through him in a mighty way. Our Father, it's our privilege to share with you our tithes and offerings, and we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you would, please rise for the reading of the scripture. Scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It's entitled, "The Workers Are Few." Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of heaven. Let me start over here. I apologize. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word.
Okay, brother. You ready? You live ready, though, don't you? Amen. During Sunday school, Abraham will tell you more about Royal Agape Ministries. Here, we have a great love for local ministries that eventually extends worldwide. And that's important because everything Abraham's going to tell you takes place in his backyard. He is certainly concerned about local missions. Listen to what God has laid on this man's heart, and it will just bless you. Okay, brother, you come on and you share with us, okay?
Good morning. It's a great joy for me to be here this morning to worship the Lord with you and Pastor Utterback. And I rejoice in the Lord that we are able to be in a free country worshiping the Lord in truth and spirit. Amen? Amen. And also, Jim and Donna, like my elder brother and sister, 16 years of bonding in the Lord, working together, and it's a great joy, God's people, to be with you this morning to worship the Lord. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Amen. Oh, goodness. Just shall we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
God is really happy when the Baptists say hallelujah because they rarely say it. I'm going to share from God's word this morning, and then as Pastor has said, we will look into the ministry aspects of Agape Royal Ministries and what we are doing in India. I'm so glad that God has called me into ministry, that I'm in a position to share the gospel with the people and souls being led to the kingdom of God. It is so important for us that we share the gospel with the people wherever we are, because the souls are heading to eternal damnation, and only gospel can make a change. And I was visiting a cancer hospital one time. I saw a young man and his mother sitting on a bed, and they were talking. His dear wife and two children were standing beside. And as I approached, I realized that there is something going really seriously wrong. And I looked at his face and saw he was dusp, in fear. But I began to share the gospel with him. And I could see the changes on his face. And when I finished talking, he smiled for the first time. And then his mother told me what was happening. This is a Hindu man, married, 28 years old, having two children. The doctor said he is terminally ill and he will die in a few days. And his mother told me, when I was approaching to their bed, he was telling her in desperation to buy some poison for him that he wants to die. And he was knocking his head against the wall because there is no hope. And he is going to leave his dear wife and his two children forever. And he did not know where he was going. And he was in utter hopelessness. I shared the gospel. I prayed for him. I came back. And the next day I went to see him again. And he smiled at me as soon as I went to his bedside. And he told me this, "Brother, I am ready to go home to be with Jesus." Amen. Praise the Lord. And now he knows where he is going. After two days he died. Actually, I was moved with compassion. What would give this man hope? Hope for future. And nothing else but Jesus. Nothing else but the gospel. Because someone shared the gospel with this young Hindu man, now he is in the presence of Christ. And praise the Lord for people who share the gospel with us. Although the passage is read, I would like to quote two scriptures from the passage we read. And that is, Jesus said, verse 37 and 38, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Harvest truly is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" What is Jesus saying in this passage? Jesus is saying the field is ripe for harvest, but laborers are needed. God's people, God is calling us to get involved in soul harvesting because he sees it is more ripened than ever before. When we consider the customer need in the world, there are not enough laborers. We live in a time and hour when the world needs to hear the gospel more than ever before. This is the only message that can change the world. Do we know that, or do we realize that Islam and Hindu religion are the two fast growing religions in the world today? And even in India, Islam and Hindu religion outnumbers Christianity in percentage and number. Even in this country, in the United States, Islam and Hindu religion, Eastern religions, are fast growing religions. I have come across young people who had been growing up in the church once upon a time. Now they believe in yoga, they believe in Hindu practices, giving up Christianity, giving up the Bible. So it's time for us to be on our toes and do everything we can to reach people anywhere in the world, locally or internationally, locally or globally, to bring them to Christ and fill heaven with the souls saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. I want to see heaven is filled with the souls from India. I'm a little selfish. I want to see people from India fill the heaven. And that's the reason Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of our sins. There is one expression that moved me so much, strike my soul. When Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Compassion is one of the communicable attributes of God. God is compassionate. Jesus is compassionate. He wants us to be compassionate to a dying world without Christ. Just as Jesus was moved with compassion, he saw the multitude. Look into the highways and byways. Look locally and globally. There are people never ever heard the gospel all over the world, not knowing Christ died for the forgiveness of their sins. They die and go to hell forever, eternally lost, never to come back. We should be people, our hearts should be stirred up, our soul should be moved with compassion to reach those people, pull them out somehow from the burning fire so that they will have the joy of salvation right here and eternal joy in heaven. And what I would like to do this morning is I want to focus on a fourfold missionary call. Fourfold missionary call. The first call comes from regions above. God is calling us to win souls for his kingdom. Preaching is God's priority before it is ours. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Someone shared the gospel with us. That is why we are here today. Praise the Lord. Someone shared the gospel with us. That will be the reason why we will be in heaven one day. And I know of an old a couple from a mainline church. They were nominal Christians. Someone shared the gospel with that lady, his wife. And she became a Christian. She began to attend an evangelical church. But husband would not allow her to go worship in an evangelical church, leaving the traditional mainline church. So he used to beat her up for leaving the church and worshiping in an evangelical church. This was 100 years back. And she, along with her 5-year daughter, knelt down on the muddy floor and cried in tears, God, give us freedom to worship. This prayer continued. And any time the husband is at home, this wife could not go to church. And she and her daughter cried and cried and prayed. One day this man, he got ready, dressed up, standing at the porch, waiting for his wife. And his wife asked, where are you going today? Sunday morning. And he said, I'm going to church with you. And that day, he got saved. Praise the Lord. Never again beat her up for going to church. This young girl grew up and she got saved. Later married a young Christian, fine Christian. God blessed them with a son. And he came to the Lord, and then God called me into ministry and used him to start a ministry in India to bring souls to Christ. He is none other than I, Abraham Thomas. 100 years back, someone shared the gospel with that lady, my grandmother. She shared it with my mother. My mother shared that gospel with me. And God called me into ministry. And I started Agape Royal Ministries with the help of others. And thousands of souls are led to Christ today. To God be the glory. And you and I do not know the impact of you sharing the gospel with the people. How God is going to use people It is going to impact in time and eternity, and we will see the fruit and the result in heaven. So God's people, I challenge you, either locally or globally, go share the gospel to someone today that you are going to change the world. And if yoga, one of the Eastern practices of India, if yoga could save people, we could sit and relax. If 330 million Hindu gods could save the people, then our responsibility would have been much lesser. But there is nothing that saves. No other message. No other person. It's only Christ who saves. Jesus saves, and Jesus alone. Yoga will not. Islam will not. Hindu religion will not. Hindu gods will not. Jesus saves, and Jesus alone saves. Hallelujah. So God wants us to communicate this message to people all around us, wherever, whenever. If you cannot go to a place, send someone. Send someone. We have to do it because I'm going to tell you three things. Why we should preach. The ascended Lord commissioned us in Matthew 28:16-20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The descending angels reminded us. You remember in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. The angels said to the disciples after Jesus ascended, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up to heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So the disciples returned to Jerusalem, waited for the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they began to preach. What was the angels reminding them? They ought not to be stargazers, but task doers. Not stargazers, but task doers. There is a task that God has given us through his commission. Evangelize the world. So the ascended Lord commissioned us. The descending angels reminded us. And the descended Holy Spirit is pleading with us today. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is in Isaiah, "Whom shall I send, and who shall go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me, Lord. Send me." Let that be our prayers. Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." God is calling us to bring souls to him that he can save. It's a great responsibility on our shoulders. The second call, missionary call, is from regions beyond. Regions beyond. As Christians, are we responsible to reach other nations? Do we have a responsibility to reach people globally? Listen to Paul. Paul tells about his ministry in 2 Corinthians 10:16. To preach the gospel in regions beyond you. You Americans are the most blessed people on this planet. In every way. In every street there is a church here. And I go hundreds of miles in North India not seeing a church. Not seeing a missionary. Not hearing the gospel being shared. People groups never heard the gospel. But Paul says to preach gospel in the regions beyond you. This is where partnership come alive. This is where partnership come alive. What we cannot do by ourselves, we together can do. If this wonderful church and Agape Royal Ministries and Baptist Children's Home put our hands and heart together, we can win people regions beyond us. In Romans 15:20, Apostle Paul says, "And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel where Christ was not named." Why should anyone hear the gospel twice before everybody hears one time? Is my prayer, give them a chance one time to hear the gospel. I remember an incident happened last summer. We have a Bible college. We send out summer teams and they go preach. Our students and staff were in a village where the gospel was not preached. They were in open air preaching the gospel. There was a Hindu priest standing and listening. After the message was done, he came to our students and said, "I never heard this message before. I have been a priest in this temple for 15 years. No peace. Tell me more about what you preach." He invited them to his home. They shared the gospel. He got saved. This is a place where the gospel was not preached. We need to take the gospel wherever we can, beyond our territory. And I also want to tell you about the Macedonian call. You remember in Acts chapter 16 verse 9, Apostle Paul had a vision at night in Troas. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us. I represent over 1 billion people, the people who worship 330 million gods. I plead with you, come help us preach Christ in India." This is a call from regions beyond. Regions beyond. I'll tell you, during the Sunday school, I will show you the people groups never been reached in India. There is so much more to be done. The second call comes from regions beyond. Beyond your church. Beyond your local community. Beyond your country. Representing over 1 billion people, I stand here, plead with you, come help us. Let us bring some souls from other nations to Christ, that they will sing the redemption song with us in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain by his blood. We are purchased. This is a song to be sung by all nations. Glory and honor to his name. Hallelujah. And this takes us to the third missionary call from regions below. This is a familiar, interesting story about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16:27. The rich man says, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him," that means Lazarus, "to my father's house. For I have 5 brothers, and he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Here is the rich man crying from Hades, from the place of torment, to Father Abraham, "Send Lazarus, send him as a preacher, send him as a missionary, that my brothers would hear the gospel and will never come to this place." The unsaved rich man in hell is passionate for the souls of his brothers living on earth. How much more should we who are saved have passion for our brethren dying and going to hell? I want you to think for a moment that we are standing at the gate of hell. And we see the souls, hear souls screaming. They are in agony. They are weeping. They are crying. and you are introduced as a Christian, born again, and the souls come to you and beg you, would you please go back to the earth? I have my brothers, I have my parents, I have my wife, I have my children living on earth. Would you go and share the gospel with those souls that they will not come to this place of torment? I can imagine that. We can imagine that plea from all over hell. I can picture that in my mind. The souls from India who already crying from the place of torment, who once believed their 330 million gods would save them. Now they know only Jesus saves and Jesus alone. And all the souls from Hades are crying aloud. To those Christians living here, from the story of rich man and Lazarus, we understand that. Send someone. Jesus says the field is ripe for harvest, but laborers are few. Who will go? Who will send? The fourth call is from regions within us, within our heart. There should be an inner urgency from the bottom of our soul to reach more people. Please listen to the words of Apostle Paul in Romans 9, 1 to 3. Paul says, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Do we have that great sorrow and continual grief in our soul for the souls lost going to hell? The prophet Jeremiah was called to preach that message when he was young. But Jeremiah said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. At the age of 15, when God called me into ministry, I said, God, I cannot do it, I am a boy. There may be someone here whom God is calling to mission field and you want to say you are not able. I have an amazing story for you. When God called me into ministry when I was 15 and I went to Bible college when I was 17, I did not know English. I ended up in an English Bible college, which is a miracle which I don't have time to share now. I did not want to stay in that Bible college because I did not know English. It was all in English. It was another state and the local language was not my language. The food was different, the culture was different, people all different. I wanted to go home. But God let me stay there, continue there. I prayed day and night in tears that God help me to learn English. And God helped me to learn English. And that is why I speak to you in English today. It's not because I was able, but I committed my life to the Lord. God can do all things. There is nothing impossible with God. Although it is Indian English, I'm still able to communicate. Amen? Praise the Lord. So never say, if God is calling you into ministry, into a mission field, never to say, I am not able. If we surrender our soul, God is able to do more than what we imagine. If I got gone back from that Bible college, I cannot never imagine what would have been today. Jeremiah had to go through a lot of trials in his ministry. He was slapped on his face, put in a ditch, spat upon, And at last he said, listen to him what he says in 29, Jeremiah 29. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was wary of holding it back and could not. Are you holding back a message that the Lord gave you to present to the world? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. The necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Is the message of the gospel so heavy in our heart that you cannot rest until you share it? Do we have such a passion? Do we have an inner urgency that we want to share this gospel with someone? Someone today and someone every day. God is calling us. God is calling us from above. People are calling us from all over the world. There's a call from beneath. The souls of the unsaved crying out to send someone to the living. And there should be an inner urgency from within our soul that we cannot rest until we share it. God's people, we can fill these pews if each of us walk out of this sanctuary, become a missionary. We can also fill up heaven with the souls if each of us say, God, send me, send me. It's my prayer that God continue to use this message to stir up our heart and souls to have part in reaching the lost for the kingdom of God. God bless you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.